So today we'll listen from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 19, Text 29-31. Thus we'll end this chapter. So this chapter is entitled as The Island of Jambudvip. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So I just read it. Look at the prose form also. Sri Sukha Uvacha. Jambudipasya Rajan Upadipan Astu Haika Upadisanti. Sagaratmajair Aswanaswenam Imam Mahim Parito Nikhanabdavir Upakalpitanang Tad Yatha Swarna Prasthas Chandra Sulkla Avartano Ramanako Mandara Harina Panchajanna Singhalo Lankaiti. Translation. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, "My dear king, in the opinion of some learned scholars, eight smaller islands surround Jambudvip. When the sons of Maharaj Sagar were searching all over the world for their lost hearts, they dug up the earth, and in this way eight adjoining islands came into existence. The names of these islands are Swarnaprastha, Chandra Shukla, Avartana, Ramanak, Mandara, Harina, Panchajanna, Singhal, and Lanka. Purport. In the Kurma Puran, there is the statement about the desires of the demigods. Anadhikarino deva surgastha bharatudbhavam vanchanti atma vimokshartha mudre karthe adhikarinahi. Although the demigods are situated in exalted positions in the heavenly planets, they nevertheless desire to descend to the land of Bharatavarsha on the planet Earth. This indicates that even the demigods are unfit to reside in Bharatavarsha. Therefore, the persons already born in Bharatavarsha live like cats and ducks, not taking full advantage of their birth in this land. They are certainly unfortunate." So we will end this chapter by reading the next verse. Evam taba bharatottama jambudipa varsa vibhaga jatha padesma upavarnitam iti. In this verse, Srila Sukadeva Goswami telling to Parikshit Maharaj, "My dear Parikshit, O best of the descendants of Bharata Maharaj, I have thus described to you, as I myself have been instructed, the island of Bharatavarsha and its adjoining islands. These are the islands that constitute Jambudvip. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 5th canto, 19th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled A Description of Island of Jambudvip." So in this chapter we are hearing the glorification of Bharatavarsha. Here, the demigods, even if they are saying that how great is Bharatavarsha, the greatness of Bharatavarsha is one cannot avoid progressing in spiritual life. So here we see the statements of the inhabitants of the heavenly planets, that from their experience they are telling the greatness of Bharatavarsha, because by dint of their previous pious activities they have ended up in heavenly planets, and now they are repenting that where we have come, वी शुड हैव टेकन अपॉर्चुनिटी ऑफ टेकिंग बर्थ इन भारतवर्ष. सो एज प्रभुपाद हैज सेड दैट डिफरेंट कैटेगरी ऑफ पीपल, सम पीपल बाय हियरिंग दे अंडरस्टैंड, सम पीपल बाय सीइंग दे अंडरस्टैंड, सम पीपल व्हेन दे एक्सपीरियंस दे अंडरस्टैंड. सो दिस inhabitants of heavenly planets are like that. After experiencing their telling, that greatness of Bharatavarsha, how great it is, just by taking birth in Bharatavarsha, one can take the advantage of going back to Godhead. It is true, if somebody takes birth in Bharatavarsha, the lifestyle is as such. It does not matter he takes birth in Brahman family, Kshatriya Brahmani family, or scheduled caste. Whatever it is, the lifestyle is as such that you cannot avoid progressing in a spiritual life. For example, in Bharatavarsha, all these great rivers, Ganga, Narmada, Kaveri, Sindhu, whether you are a devotee or non-devotee, everybody they have to go take bath there, which you cannot do in other countries. Even if you, whatever contaminated, sinful person you may be, you have to go and take bath there in the rivers. And Indian culture is as such that every culture is flavored with some spiritual sense. Even if subject matter which is meant for sense gratification, as this chapter has described, people they engage for sense gratification, but still they accumulate something they can progress in their spiritual life. But I remember in a childhood time, for the villagers, what is the sense gratification? The sense gratification means, end of the day, they'll work hard, and they will all read Puran, that is the sense gratification, reading Purans. Because they had no nightclub, no cinema, no television. Even if villagers, their sense gratification in 12 months, they have 13 festivals, all festivals centered around God. Either Ram Lila or Krishna Lila or Shiv Lila. Is very, the villagers, they do working hard, and then relax, they'll do Ram Lila. That is their sense gratification. There are no big arrangements there, and very funny way they do, if you compare to present day sense gratification, the Ramayana and different pastimes they exhibit, and for that things the whole village will be gathered and waiting when this day will come. Some festivals will take place. Festivals were the mainly sense gratification for them. They had no nightclub or something like that to go that time. And even if they would do some play, some drama, they call theater. Theater means only from Puranas, some subject matter. And if villagers, they will sit together to resolve some problems, they will go through Puranas. So in this way, the lifestyle of Indian people were in such a way it was directed that doesn't matter in which state of life you are, you have to go through, you have to touch that lifestyle which will make you progress in your spiritual life. Including tribal people. These tribal people I have seen, tribal people are big drunkards. They drink one kind of wine they prepare from rice. They'll keep rice for 3-4 days on that rotten. It's a very interesting drink for them. So they enjoy. They'll drink that. And there are some festivals, they'll drink that and they'll dance. But when they'll dance, they'll chant the glories of Krishna. The pastimes of Krishna. So like this, knowingly, unknowingly, you lead a lifestyle there that you cannot avoid whatever you do, including the karma kanda, the sraddha ceremony or the marriage ceremony or whatever they will do, that will include something that they'll progress in spiritual life. So that is the greatness of taking birth in Bharatavarsha. But here, the demigods, they're telling, glorifying about the bhakti. As we know, Srimad Bhagavatam specially is meant for glorifying bhakti. Srimad Bhagavatam Amalam Puranam Jad Vaishnavanam Priyam. That's it is very dear to Vaishnav. Jasmin Paramhansam Ekam Jnanam Param Gyate. In Srimad Bhagavatam, the knowledge described here, which is meant for great Paramahansa peoples. And what it speaks, Jatra Jnana Viraga Bhakti Naishkarmam Abhishkritam. In Srimad Bhagavatam, no Jnana, no Karma. Pure Bhakti has been explained here. Not like other Purana or Veda Vedanta, which describes karma, jnana, yoga, or karma misra, jnana misra, yoga misra bhakti. Here, the demigods, they're explaining that how one should surrender to Krishna. The bhakti is the final thing. So we know the goal of our life is to achieve Krishna prem, love of Godhead. But it's very difficult to achieve love of Godhead because of its unique nature. So what is the unique nature of love of Godhead? That we love somebody. In this material world, we know how to love. We love people. And why we love people? That we'll get something. So then there is no problem. To develop love with somebody that will get something is not a big difficult matter. But you have to develop love with God. And what you will get from Him? God saying, yes, if you love me, I'll bless you. So if you bless us, what will get from you? The Lord saying, yes, yes. If I bless you, jad aham anugrahami harishya tad dhanam sanahe tata dhanam tajantasa sojanam dukkha dukkhanam. If I bless you, you'll lose everything in your life. That is my blessings for you. So who would like to love such a personality? That he'll say, if you love me, you'll lose everything? Okay, goodbye. Thank you very much. So that is the reason nobody comes closer to this. This unique nature of the loving relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that you lose everything. But je bhajase bada chatur, the devotee of Krishna, they are very intelligent. What intelligent? They are intelligent. Then they go to Krishna, and the Krishna, oh, we pray you, we love you, we don't want anything. We don't want anything. What do you want then? We just want your lotus feet, nothing else. But devotees are very intelligent. They say, we don't want anything, only your lotus feet. Are the lotus feet is everything. What people are searching for, to get a glimpse of Lakshmi Devi, so they can become rich, opulent. A glimpse of one Lakshmi Devi. But the lotus feet of Krishna, Lakshmi Sahasra Satasambhrama Sabhyamanam. There are millions of Lakshmi standing in line to serve that lotus feet of Krishna. So then what is the problem? So devotees are very intelligent. They wait for that moment. That's why in Bengal, they have a saying. That Krishna telling, Je kare amar as, tar hai sarvanas. If somebody depend upon me, then he will be ruined, completely finished. His life will be finished. Tar hai sarvanas. Tabhua se amar nachade as, ami hai tar daser das. But still, he will not give up his hope upon me. Then what he will get at the end of the day? That I will become a servant of his servant. So this is how Lord reciprocates. It is very difficult to understand how the Supreme Personality of Godhead reciprocates with his devotees. Just like there's a pastime, there's a devotee of Lord Jagannath, there's a Raghu Das. A Jagannath's devotee, normally they're very poor. But don't be worried. Don't be worried that if you become Jagannath, the devotee will become poor. Sometimes they're rich also. But mainly, we hear many devotees, they have surrendered to Jagannath, they become so poor, this Raghu Das,
He has no house, living on the street under umbrella. So once the Raghudas, he became very sick. And he became so sick that he cannot get up from his bed. He is passing stool, urine on his bed. And he has nobody to look after him. And because he has no relatives, especially if you become poor, no relatives will be around you. As long as you have money, everybody come, dandavat, dandavat. my mom was telling me once that there is a rich man, Jamidar. So everybody come and offer him obeisances. And one day his wife told, "Oh, you are so great. So everybody coming and offering you respect, obeisances, you are such a great personality." Then this rich man told his wife, "No, my dear wife, they are not offering obeisances to me. They are offering obeisances to my iron chest. Iron chest, all the money there. As long as that is with me, all these obeisances will come. As long as that is not there, no obeisances will come here." So that's why Krishna is saying, "Tata dhanam tajantasya sojanam dukkha dukkhanam." Your real understanding will come on that day. Who is my sojana? Who is my well-wisher? Who is my real relative? When you will be deprived of all the wealth. You have no wealth. That day nobody will come. No children, no relatives, no wife will come to give you the loving exchange. "Oh, my dear husband, how nice are you? As long as you have money, you buy nice things or loving relationship. As soon as no money, then your wife will come a broom. In India, we call brooms patent medicine for the ladies to control their husbands. So this is the sarup one will manifest. So the Raghudas has no money. So who will come to help him? He is suffering, lying on the bed, the stool, urine. And one day he found that somebody coming and cleaning his bed, putting sandalwood pulp on his body, nice smell. She is wondering, who is doing? Every day somebody coming and doing like this. And one day he thought, "I must find out who is doing like this." So that night he did not sleep, just lying there. And after some time he realized somebody coming and cleaning his bed. Then he opened his eyes. Then he saw Lord Jagannath standing and cleaning his bed, his stool and urine. Then he caught hold of his hand. "Oh my Lord, what are you doing? I'll go to hell. You are cleaning my stool and urine." The Lord said, No. Lord said, No, I love you so much. I love you so much. I like to serve you." Then Raghudas saying, "You love me so much. If you love me so much, then just cure my disease. You can cure, you are God, you can cure my disease. But you are not curing my disease. You are giving my disease. So I cannot get up, suffer, and stool and urine. And you come and clean this." The Lord saying, "Yes. It is just like my devotees, they enjoy serving me. I also enjoy by serving my devotees. So that's why you have to put me going through the sufferings. Yes, that is what I love, I like." Just like Shuklambara Brahmachari. Shuklambara Brahmachari, very poor in Navadip Dham. He is so poor, he had no good house on the bank of River Ganga, his small straw hut. He used to stay there. And every day, he goes for begging alms from house to house. That is how he gets his livelihood. So one day, every day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is having his Harinam Sankirtan Srivasa house. One day, very ecstatic kirtan going on. That time, the Shuklambara Brahmachari, he entered the house at the end of the day. Whole day he has begged alms, rice from house to house. He entered into the kirtan. Then he entered into kirtan, the Chaitanya was stopped kirtan. Then he went and put his hand into his bag. And taking a handful of rice, he's eating. Then Shuklambara Brahmachari said, "Oh my Lord, what are you doing? This is not befitting to you. You are eating like this." The Lord said, "Yes, I like that. Not only in this life you are a poor Brahman, I am eating from you. In your previous life, your Sudama Vipra, very poor Brahman also. That time, by force, I took cheap rice and ate from you. I enjoy. In your previous life, you were poor Brahman. And this life, you are also very poor. In life after life, you will remain poor like this. And I will enjoy by taking by force. So if you love somebody who will enjoy making you poor life after life, how many people will come to love such a personality? So this is the unique nature in loving relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one has to understand. And devotees, they have understood. People then know that you surrender to Krishna, you surrender to God. Why you should surrender to God? Because Krishna rakshatiti vishas. Saranga saranagati hoyache jahar, tahar prathana suna srinanda kumar, six kinds of surrendership. And one is Krishna rakshatiti vishas. Krishna will protect me. The strong faith. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Sikhyastakam, he is going one step ahead. The pure devotees, they have understood God in perfect. That's why their concept is Krishna na rakshati iti vishwas. Krishna na rakshati iti vishwas. Krishna will protect me. Aslisaba padaratang pinastumang adarsanat marmahata karatubad. Whether you trample me under your feet or you embrace me. Krishna will protect me or he will kill me. He is only my master. So this strong faith, this way the devotees, they know the real sorup of God. Where people in general, they pray God thinking God is protector. But devotees, they know God is not the only the protector. He is creator, he is maintainer, and he is annihilator also. So in this sense, in this way, the pure devotees, they completely surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, this way, the love has a very unique nature. We love God. People, they love God so that they can be peaceful life, they can have a happy life. But loving God is not like that. If you love God, thinking that I'll have a very happy life, I'll have a peaceful life, that will be wrong way to love God. Because we have seen, loving God, you don't get bodily comfort or mental peace. Brajavasis, they loved Krishna so much. But were they happy? Were they peaceful? Rather, you will see, as long as Krishna was not there, they were very happy. Growing their crops, grazing cows, there is no problem. As soon as Krishna came, then all the problems came. Krishna was not there, there was no problem. So Krishna came along with all the problems, all demons are attacking, all problems are taking place. Then finally they developed so much love unto Krishna. And after that Krishna also ran away. So that is what the Vrajavasis they got. No bodily comfort, no mental peace. Once Radhanatha Maharaj, he was telling this. Just see, the family members of Ramchandra, they are so devoted to Lord Ramchandra. Then what happened to their family? Very precarious situation in his family. Ramchandra has to go to the forest. Mother Sita has to follow him. Dasaratha died. The whole family, big disaster in that family. If you analyze that family situation, it's a horrible family life. And there is no happiness, no peace, no comfort. And just see the family of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. What happened to their family? If you will analyze whichever family Lord is appearing, for that family, if you get God, it will happen like that. No, I am not going to get that God. Krishna's family, Rama's family, Gauranga's family, Jagannath Mishra left body, then elder brother took sannyas, then one wife died in snake bite, then Vishnupriya married, young girl, 16 years old girl. Just see, such a devoted girl of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, she married 16 years old. And Mahaprabhu took sannyas. And house, that widow lady, can you imagine? Anybody, if somebody will leave house in such a precarious situation, your father has died, brother has taken sannyas, old widow mother in your house and 16 years old wife, and you take sannyas. This is what God does to give happiness to His devotees. What a family, huh? But still, He left in this precarious situation. So Maharaj is making the point, you become the devotee of the God, there's no bodily comfort, no mental peace. Then what do you get out of this love? You lose everything. What do you get out of this love? So he was telling, what do you get? The bliss. One may not get bodily comfort, mental peace. What different Vedic literatures have prescribed different process to achieve? The karmakanda, to get bodily comfort. Jnanakanda, to get mental peace. But karmakanda, jnanakanda, sakale visarabhanda. People can become very allured with this karmakanda and jnanakanda, thinking that we will get bodily comfort and mental peace. But sakala bishara bhanda, both are compared to pot filled with poison. Because by this, nana joni brahmana kare, avaksha bhakshana kare, targati adhapati jaya. By this one has to go, as in this chapter it has been described, even if somebody will go to Brahmaloka, tetang bhukta sogolokam visalam khinepunne martaloka visanti. They will come back to this earthly planet again. So in this way we see whether Hindu literatures or Muslim literatures or Christian literatures, every literatures, they have two concepts. You do sinful activities, you go to hell. If you do pious activities, you go to heaven. Nobody point out that there is a bypass, another process, another place. There is a place to Vaikuntha where you go, you don't come back from there. So one group of Christian students from some Baptist church, they had come to Atlanta. So they told me, you please speak to them. I gave a little talk and we had question answers. So they were asking of Jesus Christ. What do you think of Jesus Christ? Then I glorified how great He is, how He has come to deliver us, He's messenger of God, this, that, so much I glorified. Then course of my talk, I was telling that how other Hindu, Muslim, Christian, everybody, they have this information of going to heaven. But if you go to heaven, when you consume the result of your past activities, then again you have to come back to this earthly planet. I gave them the example of you take some traveler's check. Of course, nowadays this example will not work because you have credit card systems. But Prabhupada gave the example of traveler's check. You take some traveler's check. You go from here to Hawaii to travel. When traveler's check finish, then you back to Los Angeles. From there you don't go to China. Prabhupada gave this example. So I told them that. So when I was explaining the swarup of heaven, so at the end, when they are all preparing to leave, then one boy came and he asked me, he said that you glorified so much about Jesus Christ, He is great, this, that, but Jesus Christ telling about going to heaven, so that heaven means again we have to come back here. Then I didn't reply anything because I didn't want to hurt them. So that is what happening in India or wherever you go. So all concepts take them to take one place only. You do sinful activities, go to hell. Do pious activities, go to heaven. But nobody teaches us. Only in Bhagavad Gita that Krishna could dare to tell us that don't do sinful activities, don't do pious activities also. That's why very interesting his last statement, where he is saying, sarva dharman paritejya mam ekam saranam braja, that you give up all dharma. Usually he could say, give up all adharma and you take shelter of me. But he is saying very interesting things. Not give up all adharma and take shelter to me. He is saying give up all dharma and take shelter unto me. And next line is more interesting. You do adharma, papa, I will protect you from that. But you do dharma, you don't get me. So that is how people, they get stuck. And nobody can understand that. So now these personalities in heavenly planets, after experiencing, they have experienced that how even if he, by dint of our pious activities, we go to heavenly planets, they are realizing that we have missed a great chance. Because somebody takes birth in Bharatvarsham, the biggest thing that he can achieve, take advantage of sadhu sangha. Sadhu sangha, sarva shastra kai, labe matra sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi hai. India is such a place, you can't avoid getting some sadhu sangha. Of course, nowadays the situation is getting different in India because of the getting influenced by Western civilization. Otherwise, I have seen in my childhood time that it is very common, the sadhu santas coming to your house, coming to your village. It is very common in India that you get association of the devotees. And that's why here Prabhupada is saying that therefore, if persons already born in Bharatvarsha live like cats and ducks, not taking full advantage of their birth in this land, they are certainly very unfortunate, they are doomed. So that's why it is very, very important. Srila Prabhupada, he said, he told Jassi, I am one Indian. I am one Indian, I could have brought so much change. And if each and every Indian, they understand the value of the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam, then what will happen to the whole world? The whole world will become like Vaikuntha. And that is the goal of the teachings of Vedic knowledge. The Veda says, Vasudhaiva Kutumbakam. The purpose of the teachings of Veda, Vedic knowledge, is to transform the whole earthly planet into one family. And Prabhupada is saying, how you can transform the whole world into one family? One family means there is one father. There are many fathers, means many family. As one has to understand, we have one father, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. But nowadays I see the Christians, before they are claiming that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But now different places I see they are writing Jesus Christ is God. Maybe they see in India the God market is going very, doing very good. Anybody becoming God, there are a lot of followers, this, that. They are also adapting the same thing. Why should we tell Jesus Christ is Son of God? Now they are claiming Jesus Christ is God. Once and Jesus Christ was correct, he is Son of God. But now they are saying, no, we should follow the same philosophy of all these Indians are doing. So this way the Indians are very much diverted. Because God counts everybody, every village, every city they have God. That's why Prabhupada has told. And in India and Bangladesh, you have factory of God. That's like factory, things are produced. In India and Bangladesh, things are like that. And you will be very surprised. All these false gods, this, what is this, Sai Baba, all this Baba, that Baba, very interesting how people's intelligence are, they're bewildered. They have no philosophy, no understanding, nothing. But millions of people run behind them. So much crores, millions of rupees, dollars come to them. This Sai Baba, never he has gone out of India. He doesn't know except his own language. No other language he knows. Whole world goes to him. Millions of dollars projects he has. And this another is Ravi Shankar coming, his teaching and what art of living. All bogus things they talk. Once I went to his program, like 50,000-60,000 people. But the arrangements they do, I went there, I could see all stupid bogus things, nothing. He's checking, telling the people, you stand up. Okay, what are you feeling? Oh, I am feeling my back pain. Okay, 10 feet, come ahead, go this. How are you feeling? Oh, Swamiji, very good, very good. I don't know how he's drawing the attention of 50,000-60,000 people. They're all sitting there. And they're so expert, they make such nice arrangements. I went there, I also felt to sit down there. And like 200 orchestra people sitting there, make arrangements as such. They all get attracted. I see in India, how these gods, they evolve. Some people, nobody knows them. All of a sudden, they think, oh, he's a big sadhu baba, he's a big kathakar. Then they think he's Vaishnava sadhu. Then they accept him. And after some time he become famous, then his pictures are distributed all over the, no God, no Krishna picture, no Ram picture. They talk about Krishna Ram, but they distribute only their pictures. So every house, Every office under that table, on that wall, they put their pictures. This is how all these babas, they are coming up, I have observed. Then after some time, the sadhu, he transformed to guru. Then they address him as guru. Then when they become guru, then they put their picture, they take from the wall, they put on their altar. Every Hindu, they have an altar in them, a thakur ghar, under the deity. Then after some time, that guru, he becomes Bhagavan. Then they put him on the same place where they put Radha Krishna. And the next thought happens, so interesting, after some time, they remove Radha Krishna and keep only him there. That is what gradual development taking place in India. You will go in different villages. We are talking against demigods worship. Now only fix your mind into Supreme Personality of Godhead. No demigod worship, no Shiv, Kali, Durga. Now I am worried, this Shiv, Kali, Durga worship, at least Veda, is Vedic. At least Lord Krishna has told you worship them. They will be happy, they will give you result accordingly. But nowadays in India, no Shiva, Kali, Durga temples. All Anukul Baba, Sai Baba, this temple coming up, every village. Yes, that what a Shastra has spoken. 5,000 years Kali Yuga, Grama Devata Puja will stop. Every village used to have Gram Devata. Some Shiva, Kali, Durga, Mangala. That will stop. And that is what is happening now. And all these false gods coming. And what they are telling you, oh Gita, Bhagavat, you are not qualified. Listen to me. They said, don't listen Gita, listen to me. And I am surprised how these people get so much. We are saying purity is the force, purity is the force. But they are not pure. They are not pure. All kinds of abominable activities, cheating, everything doing. And all men and money power are there behind them. Because they say, I am God. Sometimes I think, there is one mistake Srila Prabhupada has done, that he did not proclaim that he is God. If Prabhupada would say God, so many people will go behind him. But he was truthful. He said, I am devotee of God. I'm servant of God. And people, they don't recognize him. They don't recognize him. They all go behind false gods. That is because the Kali Yuga has a potency. The time factor has a potency. The business of this yuga is, it will try whatever you do to defy God, all helps will come to you. And these personalities, they do everything to defy God. How to keep you away from Krishna, Rama, Narayana. That's why Kali gives them potency, power empowers them. So as a result, all the people and all the money goes to all these false gods. This is the situation in India. So until Srila Prabhupada start his preaching, I tell you, whatever now thousands of Indians coming to know the truth only because of Prabhupada. Because nobody has preached these things. I have come from Hindu background. We never have this concept of Golok Vrindavan, Vaikuntha. Very less people have these concepts. Before Prabhupada explained these things to the people, nobody knows these things. So this is the situation how Indians, they are losing the great chance. And however, after Srila Prabhupada comes, big change. Now, even in Bengal, Ramakrishna is so popular in Bengal. I remember in the 80s, once His Holiness Jayapati Goswami Maharaj was giving a lecture in big pandal, Ratsyatra pandal in Calcutta. In one sentence he pronounced something little bit indirectly against Vivekananda, something. And as soon as he finished his class, he came out of the dais. The whole group of people led by a lady came. Shouting, scream, how dare you can speak against Vivekananda and Ramakrishna? No? Then they're so heavy, they made Jayapataka Maharaj to come back to the pandal stage, make apology to everybody that I said these things. That was the situation in the 80s. Nowadays, the India and Bengal has gone through so much transformation. Public will stay on the stage and speak against Vivekananda and Ramakrishna also. Why? Because reading Prabhupada's books. When we preach, we have like Gita correspondence course. We do Gita correspondence course. And the Vivekananda followers, they tell Gita is great, so they read all Gita. When they read our Gita, Then they all ask questions, all Bengalis ask questions about Ramakrishna. What do you think about Ramakrishna? His teachings. But we don't tell anything about against Vivekananda Ramakrishna. We tell them, we are not here to tell you what Ramakrishna Vivekananda, we are here to tell you what Krishna speaks. You listen, and they listen. They say, Ramakrishna Vivekananda saying, Jatamat Tatapat. Whatever path you follow, that is correct. Then I tell, okay, you see Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna saying? Sarvadharman Paritaja Mamekam Saranam Raja. There's only one path. Hori Jatamat Tatapat. So if you put Bhagavad Gita the way Prabhupada has presented, you don't have to find their mistake. They themselves, they understand. It's true. Just like this Christian fellow, he understand. He realized, yeah, then we are trying to go to heaven. So that is not correct. We have to come back again. This is the Prabhupada, the way Prabhupada has presented. We don't have to find fault with others. We present their things. Then they themselves will find, oh, what is wrong? The revolution has changed. Has been brought to India, especially in Bengal. In Bengal, by this Namahatta preaching and different things, I remember when we go from Mayapur to Calcutta, the time I joined, we just stop our bus, people throw stone, rebook, spit on us, so misbehave they do. I remember on Brahmachari, I go walk in Calcutta, they pull my kacha, my cloth from backside, pull sikha, very common practice in Bengal. Nowadays you go Bengal, oh, ISKCON devotee, very respectful. If you go from Mayapur to Calcutta, you stop in devotee's house, it will take 1 month to you to reach to Calcutta. Every place, the most notorious place, the Santipur, Ranagar, most notorious. I remember those days, I would not dare to stop my bus. And there, house to house, we go, devotees inviting, prasadam, so nice. So this shows that Prabhupada's teachings has really potency. And what these demigods, this inhabitants of heaven, they are realizing sitting in heavenly planet is true. But there is true only in scriptures. But Prabhupada has brought it into reality that we have realized the greatness of Bharatavarsa and we have to take advantage of this knowledge. Jaisala Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaura Premanande. Any questions? Mahaprasad ki jai. I have a little Narasingha oil from Nisiga Chaturdashi. If you have, if come, I'll give you. Yes, that is the question.
Oh, it's a different flavor.
Or for the devotees, can